Welcome to the Amish Voice Conference recording line. Tonight, Joe Keim is going to lead us in the discussion about, does God still speak to people in an audible voice? So, should be good. Let's talk to God, and then we'll listen to Joe tell us more about God. Father, thank you for leading us here. Help us to hear from you, whether it's an audible voice or a still small voice or through your word. Help us always to be looking and listening and ready to obey. Help us to learn now. Guide Joe Keim and other people talking. Help us to be able to distinguish between your voice and all the other voices around. So maybe look to you and follow you always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, well, let's get started. I guess I'll tell you why this even became a subject tonight. I have people that off and on will call me, or they may even be people that I know I run into, and you'll hear them say, God said, or God told me. God told me to call you, or God told me that I needed to come and visit you and pray over you, or, you know, and so when that happens, then I begin to question, you know, well, first of all, it's me against what this person just said. You know, who am I to not believe that God told this man to give me a call? That's what he said. And then I began to question even further. If God told this person to give me a call, did he say so in an audible way? Was it the Holy Spirit? How does this person know it was God? You know, these are the things that finally, you know, out of somewhat of a frustration, I finally came to the point where I said, you know, just because God hasn't spoken to me in an audible voice doesn't mean that he couldn't do that to someone else. And so a few months ago, we had in our Sunday school class this very lesson. So if you have your Bibles, I would like for us to do a little bit of a Bible study first. I really would like for you to go get your Bibles and open them up to Jeremiah chapter 1. I remember, as you're going to Jeremiah chapter 1, I remember many times when I would share my testimony to someone, and it may have been very real to me. For instance, I have no doubt in my mind that on July the 28th, 1985, God saved my soul from hell and from my sin. I have no doubt about it. It was so real to me. And then when some people come to me and they begin to doubt that that could happen, that you could have that kind of assurance, my first thoughts are, wait a minute, I'm the one that had the experience. You didn't. How can you stand there and not believe what I've said is true? And so I want to be open. I want to be flexible, and I want to be willing to say, wow, if that happened, I want to believe it. Okay? Are you in Jeremiah chapter 1? Here we go. We're going to start at verse number 4. I'm just going to read this. I'm going to read a couple Old Testament, and then we're going to read a couple New Testament scriptures. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is exactly, guys, what we're talking about tonight. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, this is Jeremiah now responding back to the Lord. And you know what? It sounds like they're carrying on a conversation like we are here, right here on the phone tonight. He says, then said I, oh Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And the Lord said unto me, say not that I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, he touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Well, I remember the first time my eyeballs landed on that scripture, and I was like, you know, I wanted, and even to this day, Jeremiah is by far my favorite prophet. And the reason he is, he was a young man that felt completely unqualified, and yet God said, don't you worry about qualifications here. I'm going to do something through you, and And then we could go to Isaiah chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. In fact, if you want to, go to Matthew chapter 1. Go to Matthew chapter 1. While you're going there, I just want to read this in the Old Testament. We're getting some background noise. And Isaiah chapter, I'm not sure. It sounds like a young child, maybe.
Well, can you mute me? Because I can't mute me.
Okay.
Yeah. Who is that?
Okay. Okay, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Here again we see Isaiah and God having a conversation. And you know what, guys? We could pick out many of these kinds of conversations in the Old Testament. It happened all the time. When you think of Job, when you think of Noah and Adam and all the way through the Old Testament. Now we get to the New Testament. And most of us know this, but I just want to remind us that between the book of Malachi and Matthew, there was about 400 years of silence. There's just nothing written about those years. It appears that God just kind of withdrew. He didn't speak to anybody, or at least nobody wrote anything down. It was just a silent time. And then we get to Matthew 1:20, and we read in verse number 20, and give me a little bit of background here. Mary was just found to be pregnant, and Joseph was going to put her away privately. But then it says in verse 20, but while Joseph thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, and he talked. He said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. For the first time, now imagine, 400 years of silence, Joseph gets up and he says, man, I had a talk with God last night. Can you imagine the people? Yeah, right, that don't happen. Hasn't happened in years, you know? You know, and that's why I'm saying, let's be careful as we respond tonight. Acts chapter 9, if you have a Bible, go there real quick. Acts chapter 9. And we're going to read verse 4. Start reading in verse 4. So we're Acts 9, verse 4. I think it's important now that the church has begun. Okay, Jesus has been crucified. The church has begun and is in transition. It's beginning in Acts here. And it says here in verse 4, and he, Paul, fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And then we could talk about Peter, Cornelius, and so on. But here we have examples, guys. And I just wanted to bring these out before I come to them. And I guess I want to ask this question. I'm going to throw it out there now for you guys. Has anyone on this line ever heard the voice of God or the voice of an angel? Do you believe that's okay? Go ahead.
Yes, he said, follow me.
Two words.
Yes.
Can you add more detail? Like, where were you at? What makes you think it was God?
I was at home, and I walked in. The wife and I were having a talk, and not agreeing. And so I went into the bedroom, and I just said, evidently I'm wrong. I remember saying, evidently I'm wrong. I'm going to do as the preachers say, and I'm wrong. And then I heard, follow me. I turned around to ask the wife if she heard that, and then I knew she didn't hear it, but it was just as if you and I were talking.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I have.
Share it with us.
I got born again, and we really didn't have anybody to walk through that, our experience, so we learned a lot of the things on our own. And there was one thing that was just a burning desire within me, and that is to know that all my sins had been forgiven. And I wrestled with that for quite a while, and that was just a deep desire within me. And I know I was discouraged one day, and I was laying, this has been years ago, but I was laying, kind of flopped myself on the bed, and this question came to me and said, you know, if you could have anything that you wanted in the world, what would it be? And immediately I knew, and I just said, to know that my sins are forgiven. And I could take you today where I heard two words as clear as a bell, and it said two words, it said, have faith. That changed my life.
Wow. That's awesome.
So yeah, God does still speak. He knows our needs.
I've heard God speak many times. Now, I'm not going to say that it's been audible, but it might as well has been, because it was in my spirit so clearly that you know, there was no question. And some of the things that the Lord showed me or told me definitely came to pass, and you know, were revealed that. So I don't know that I heard it with my physical ears, but my spirit definitely has heard the Lord speak many times.
Lydia, help me understand something. How did you know that it was God through the Spirit speaking to you rather than, you know, I don't know if you'd call it conscience, or how did you know it was God?
Well,
you know?
I'm thinking of one time I was in a terrible crisis situation, and I don't feel to go into the details of that situation on this call. But I needed some answers, and, you know, I cried out to the Lord, and because there were some things that weren't out in the open, and I needed to know how to deal with it. And the Lord just told me what was going on. When the Lord spoke to me, if it wouldn't have been the Lord, I would have been totally devastated. But when the Lord spoke to me, it was just like I was pillowed in a cushion of security. The voice of the Lord to his children is always a voice of deep peace, even if it's a troubling thing that he reveals. And it's just, you just know that. Yeah, this is the still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And so I've become acquainted with that voice, but I don't always listen, because when I'm too busy and, you know, let things come in. But the Lord spoken just that way, but also through dreams and things that the Lord has directed my life.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, Lydia. I also realize that we belong to different types of I hate to say the word denominations of churches, but we have, obviously, we come from different denominations, and some denominations might be stronger in one area and weaker in another, but then you come over here and this person is the opposite. They're stronger where your denomination might be weaker, and vice versa. You know, maybe from your teachings and your upbringing, you're taught a lot more about visions and dreams and audible voice of God, whereas someone else may come from a different denomination that has not been spoken about as much.
If I might just interject this, when I first started hearing from the Lord in my adolescent years, I was not taught about visions and dreams. The first times that the Lord spoke to me was through nighttime vision, where the Lord gave me scripture references, daytime vision, where he gave me Romans 8, just supernaturally. A scripture comes to us, I believe that's also, even if it's a vision or a dream or whatever, I believe that's a God thing there, because I don't think Satan...
Not really.
to the scriptures. So
probably doesn't have any signs.
That was how I, and I was not taught at that time about visions and dreams or hearing the voice of the Lord. That was during my adolescent years and even before I truly knew that I was born again.
Wow. Thank you, Lydia, for sharing. I always appreciate you the input that you have. I appreciate your sincerity and honesty, and just this is how it happened. You're one of those voices where you say, wow, and you just believe it, you know? And yeah. That's those are the kind of people that I like having conversations with.
Thank you.
Now I have a question. There's still a lot more people on the line tonight, and I really hope you've been on the line for numerous times and have never spoken, but I would love to hear your testimony. If God has spoken to you or you have seen him in a way that got your attention, I want you to tell us tonight.
Is this open for everybody?
Yes.
I'm thinking of a time that I was very heavy and I needed to know that God cares about everyday things and where I'm at, and I needed to have a connection. I was helping my husband. He's a carpenter. And I was, while I was not helping him, I was cleaning the yard for the lady we were working for. And now and then I needed to bring him a tool, or I needed to hold the other end. And then I would pick up some sticks, and I cleaned up the yard, and I thought, maybe I can find a rake. Next time I go around to bring him something from his truck, I will see in the garage if there's a rake, and there was. So I raked, and I raked it all nice and clean. I had a pile of stuff, and I said, now if I had a garbage bag, I could finish the job. I looked up across the street. A garbage bag came blowing in the wind, and the yard I was in was picketed with a picket fence, and I looked to see somebody chase after that bag to bring it back, and nobody did. And it blew across the street, and it came right to the fence where I was at. And I looked around, and nobody seemed to be missing it. So I looked up, and I said, thank you, God. I got it, pulled it through the fence, and it was just big enough to put all the trash in. And I knew that God knew where I was and what my heart was feeling. I knew that he sent me a garbage bag.
Wow. I was going to ask you a question, but I think the way you answered it there in the end is you answered my question. I'm going to ask the question anyways, but I think what I like what you said is I knew in my heart that God sent me that bag.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, we were talking today, we were studying out of Romans chapter 1, and we talked about how it doesn't matter where you live in the world. You could live in the darkest, deepest jungle in Africa. God puts a sense in every human being to let that person know that there is a God. You cannot throw it away. It's there. They may not know all the details, but they know there is a God. And that's what I just heard you say, is that when that bag came, I knew it was God. There was a sense that told me it was God. Now, go ahead.
I knew in my heart that he knew the heaviness that I was carrying, and I knew that he sent me a garbage bag, and as he sent me a garbage bag, he will also meet the other need. He is a big God.
Now, I'm going to throw this out. I want to throw this out. This is no way am I discrediting what you've shared, because I believe what you shared is true. But coming from a background that many of us did, we sometimes might hear something like, I walked out and I saw the sky was dark and gray, and it looked and appeared as if God was angry. And I was, you know, because of something that had happened in my life or something that was going on, I knew right away that this was God speaking directly to me, showing me that he was angry and that I needed to repent. I've heard stories like that, and I've seen people literally just almost go out of their mind because of these kinds of things that happened. Now, I have a question. Is that God?
No.
Is that God?
God is love.
I think God speaks peace. The first time whenever he talks to people, the first word he says is peace. And I don't think he expresses anger to make express.
Okay, that's interesting.
Joe, if I can say something here. This is Chris.
Go ahead. Yes.
I can't put my finger on the scripture right now, but in relation to what you just said, there's a scripture that says that our conscience need to be cleansed from dead works, okay? And I think in the religious setting that we have been raised in, some of us have been raised in, there is teaching that has been put on us that causes our conscience to be, you know, I used to hear the preacher say, let your conscience be your guide. And that is not totally true. You know, we do have a conscience, but like I said, the scripture said that the conscience need to be cleansed from dead works. And I think sometimes those dead works are things that we've been taught that misleads us so many times. And in that way, we can think that God is angry at us, you know, and we look at the sky and it's dreary, whatever you mentioned there, and we get this feeling that God is angry with us, and that's false. That's not true.
Thank you, Chris.
Did that make sense what I'm talking here?
It makes sense. Let me ask you, are you describing what we would consider to be superstitious?
Not necessarily.
At what point does it become superstitious? Is there such a thing as religion, religious people? I'm talking about people outside of faith in Christ.
Yes.
Outside of relationship, but religion, churchgoers, okay, but dead.
Mm-hmm.
What is superstitious? What does the word mean? How would that fall into what we're talking about tonight? Or does it not even have a place in what we're discussing tonight?
Well, I guess in that way, superstitious, it would fit in there.
Let me give you an illustration. Having grown up, a lot of times, you know, when you're out, I don't know, throwing wheat and oats on the wagon to take it in for thrashing, once in a while, a snake would come flying out, you know. And if we were close to a fence post or a fence, we would kill that snake and hang it over the fence and say within 3 days it would rain, you know. I'm talking about things like that. I don't even know if that was necessarily fitting, but that would be more maybe in line of superstition. I'm going back to the bag. You know, the bag came rolling. How is the bag, the garbage bag, different than throwing the snake over the fence?
I would just venture to say that the sister who had the bag coming to her, her heart was crying out to the Lord, and that was just a sign to her that the Lord was, it was a word of faith that was birthed in her. It was where she was at. However, the snake over the fence and a lot of stuff like that is superstition, and there is a dark world out there. There is a supernatural world. I was listening to a man last night that was saying before he was converted, he said that he would spend his night talking to the devil. So there is also a dark world, and that's why we have in the Word of God. We have to know the written Word of God. Also, I believe that we can open doors to superstitious manifestations through unforgiveness, bitterness, fear, anxiety, and that kind of thing. But I believe for the child of God, there is that closeness that we can have with Him. So that's just what I'm thinking, you know, from my point of view here.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you, Lydia. Does anybody else coming back to hearing God speak to us, does somebody else have a testimony they would like to share?
I would like to share mine, where I heard an audible voice. When 25 years ago, when I got born again one evening, it was about 10 o'clock in my workshop, and there were quite a turmoil was going on in my life, and I had a very dramatic experience. Like I said, it was about 10 o'clock at night in my workshop, and I had an experience where I knew I was saved. It was just the peace of God came upon me after my episode of just weeping out to Him and realizing, I mean, I felt like I was at the gates of hell. You know, the doomness came upon me, and I saw I was lost, and I cried out to Him for mercy, and such a peace came upon me that evening I walked out of my workshop, and it was a beautiful sky, beautiful evening, stars in the sky, and I walked out and leaned up against a little shed that was behind my workshop. And I remember standing there looking up at the sky and just crying out to God, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I just stood there. It was so peaceful. All of a sudden, this voice came right from, well, it just seemed like it came right from the sky. I was sort of leaning against the building, and it was so plain that I jumped. I actually jumped. If a person would have been next to me, they would have seen me jump and wondering what was wrong, because this word came so direct to me. And now I don't know if it was audible, but it was in my mind, in my head, wasn't even in my heart yet. I just heard it came right down towards me, like it came right out of heaven. And I think I know the experience that Paul had there, where it says that a light, now I didn't have the light, but where the light came around him and it threw him down. And it says that he heard the word, but there's another place in the scripture where it says that the ones that were with him didn't necessarily hear the word. They saw that something happened to Paul, but they didn't hear the word. But I just experienced that audible voice coming from heaven to me, and that was such an amazing, amazing experience. So, yes, I do believe that God still speaks to us that way.
Amen. I want to throw something out. Go ahead.
What did he say? A scripture?
Well, he gave me direction what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he in an audible voice, he told me what to do, and as long as I followed that voice, to where he directed me what to do, where to go, and everything. As long as I followed that voice, I had peace. One time, I shared it with a person, and he told me that don't follow that, and I deviated from that voice, and I lost my peace. And in that part, that time of my life, I followed that voice, and I found peace, and it's amazing how God directed my life from that point.
Anybody else?
What if somebody hears from God, or they say they do, and they're wrong? I have a neighbor who she'll do things like that. She'll say, God told me this, but she's been wrong before. So does that mean you never believe her, or she's...
What do you base it on, whether it's right or wrong?
Well, she said God told her somebody was pregnant, and they weren't. That was...
So we have the word to base on what is right and wrong, and when the voice comes and it is not truth. We know from the solid base of the scripture whether that voice was God or not.
Yeah. So if she was wrong, does that mean she's never to be believed?
I was told one time that there's three things. If we get any kind of a revelation of any sort, a word or any kind of revelation, there's three things that we must do to measure that revelation, word, or whatever. And that is, the first is the Spirit, to trust the Spirit. And does it measure up to what the Spirit would tell us? The next, the number two is Christ, Jesus. Is it something that would glorify Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then number three is the Word. Does it match up to the Word? And if we measure it to those three, Spirit, Christ, and the Word, we will not be failed.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say I agree wholeheartedly with that.
May I verify what you just said, Joe?
Yes.
My name is Andy. Back in 1972, when I finally found the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth, and I believed and was saved, God started dealing with me about serving Him full time. And I rejected it. I didn't want to. And one night, it must have been around 3 o'clock in the morning, somebody woke me up by saying, "Andy." I heard it as clear as if you'd say "Andy" right now, Joe. And I looked up, I looked over at my wife, and she was sound asleep. And I started to get out of bed to see who was in the house. Before I could get out of bed, he said, "If you don't surrender your life to me, your oldest son is going to hell." And that was it. I never heard anything else, never did anything else. I went to church the next Sunday, though, and I surrendered my life, full-time service. And my battery's about going dead, so if it cuts off, that's what happened. But I went, and this is a short story, but I got to finish it to see the confirmation of it. I went in front of the church a couple months later, said, "We're leaving Monday to go to school in Indiana." I had $5 in my pocket. People came and gave us money. Things, you know, took place. I had enough money to get the U-Haul to move, and I had enough money to get to take the gas to go to Hammond, Indiana from Decatur, Illinois. That was it. We took off. I went to Hammond, Indiana. Arrived there on Tuesday morning, or no, it was more Tuesday afternoon. I looked everywhere. Everybody wanted $400 a month, or thereabout. They wanted double the month rental. And I got out in the middle of the street on Wednesday morning, and I said, "Lord, you brought me here. You told me to come here. Now I'm just waiting on you to provide." And so went on there, and I made another phone call. The guy said, "Yep, I've got a place for you." And he said, "It'll be $250 a month." And what had happened before I left home, I got a check in the mail for $200 for some sales work that I had done in kitchen cabinets, and the check come in the mail for me. It's $200. And I said, "Well," I said, "church tonight, you'll be in church?" "Yeah." I said, we'll see you after church." Went to his house after church, and he kept talking. I kept wanting to say, "Yeah, I'll take it." And the Lord kept telling me, not audible, but he kept saying, "Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut." And then he said, I would drop it to 200 because you're a student. I know you're having a rough time." And at that point, did this quit?
No, you're still on.
You're still on, Andy. It must have quit. Wow. Well, going back to does God speak to us in an audible voice, I think maybe one of the main reasons that we've had this discussion tonight is because I think we need to be very careful that we don't just flippantly say God said. You see, even, you know, going back to what Paul Miller brought up about his neighbor that sometimes says things that don't come true, or even if it happens once, I think in all cases, if anyone comes to me and says that so-and-so or such-and-such thing will happen, I have the right to wait and see if it proves itself to be true. If it doesn't prove itself to be true, I don't think I'm being out of God's will for saying, you know, until it becomes true, I have a right to, I don't know if you have a right to not believe it, but or to doubt it, but you know what I'm saying, right? I mean, Do I not have a right? Does Paul not have a right to say, okay, you said she's going to be pregnant, but if she doesn't become pregnant, then we have the right to believe that her prophecy, or whatever you call that, did not come true. It was not from God. And I guess for myself, I just want to challenge all of us on the line. We have to be careful when we say God said. I've seen churches split up right down the middle. I've seen churches completely close their doors because of one person standing up and saying, God told me. And you know what happens in cases like that is it puts the full 100% control in that person's lap. He's the one that heard from God. I didn't. And so that puts him in control. It doesn't matter who he is in the church or what position he holds. I didn't hear from God. He did. And that is how I've seen churches split up and close doors. And I tell you, it is a painful thing to go through. But any other thoughts on our discussion tonight? There's a little bit more that I wanted to. Go ahead.
Makes me think of when my husband was teaching in the Amish school. We had a little troublemaker, and he came downstairs and he tried to have the ball, well, whatever they were playing, game in his favor. And he said, teacher said that so-and-so. And he was trying to use that as a bigger authority than his own. If he would have just said so-and-so for the rules, nobody would have listened to him. But if teacher said it, then so be it. And immediately I could see that is how many people do when they say, God told me. They do it to be talking in that authority that nobody can come against, even if it's just from themselves. They reach up and say, God told me, for a bigger authority.
Mm-hmm.
Can I throw in my 5 cents, Joe?
Yes.
This is Jonas, elder from Kentucky.
Yes.
I've experienced both sides of it. Let me say this. I personally can't say that I've ever heard an audible voice from God. But there's, you know, Scripture says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are His children. And I have experienced that many times in various ways. But I have been around people, various people, that have voiced that they heard from God, so-and-so and all that. I was involved in a group one time, quite a bit of that went on, and I was involved in that group for about a year, and it was one of the most frustrating years of my life. And it goes back to some of those things that Joe said. It put that person in control, in authority. And then sometimes the things wouldn't come true, sometimes they would. It gave us a sense of distrust. But then at the same time, I have seen others that hear from God, and it's different. And here's what I have come to learn and maybe, in a sense, discern whether it's from God or not. If somebody says, God told me so-and-so, something about the future, I tend to be hesitant to believe it. I tend to be skeptical. Because usually what I have seen, what I believe to be true men of God or women of God that truly hear from God, they're usually very humble about it and usually don't talk a lot about it. If it's somebody that talks a lot about it, I become even more skeptical. Because, you know, we can even look for examples. Elijah, when he was out in the wilderness, there was a strong wind, and then there was a fire, and then there was a still small voice. And God was in the still small voice. And so, you know, what I've come to believe is that God definitely speaks to His people today. There's no question in my mind about that. At the same time, there is a lot of flaky stuff out there that we need to be aware of. But that is one of the greater defining differences that I have come to see, is look for the still small voice. Look for those that are, I know some people, they talk about it after the fact, maybe. I have experienced that when God revealed something to me, or and then talk about it after the fact. If you're trying to build your credibility by saying that God told me so-and-so, I immediately become very skeptical.
Yes.
Often those people have their own agenda.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Joe. That's right. I appreciate that comment there. This is Andy. I'm back. If you want to hear the end of my story, and who was that made that comment? That wasn't Joe.
That was me.
Jonas.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
About them. About people having their own agenda.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. That
right.
was me, Chris. Good evening, Andy.
Okay.
That was me.
Hey.
Chris.
Back again. I'm sorry I dropped out in the middle of my sentence there before, but God kept telling me to keep my mouth shut. So I just
you get your sat there. Charge.
And after a while, he said, you know, I'd do it for $200. And I wanted to jump up and say, yippee, because I had a check in my pocket for $200. That's how much the check was for that God had sent to me. And I remember I didn't have but just a few bucks to drive back to Decatur, Illinois. It's all I had because we weren't moving everything then. I was just getting a place to live. And again, something just told me, don't say anything. And so finally I said, well, how much deposit do you want? And he said, oh, the first month's rent, that's all. He said, if you'll pay the first month, that's fine. And then you just pay every month after that. I signed the name on the back of that check and handed it to him. And then I knew that God had talked to me.
Wow.
That's when I got my confirmation.
Yeah. Amen.
Joe, I would just like to say, if it's okay, if somebody is a mouthpiece for the Lord and hears from God, it's a very sacred thing, and it's a very weighty thing. It's not something that we're boastful about. We need to speak very humbly. And if God entrusts us with His word to be spoken, it's an absolutely awesome thing that we need to hold very sacredly and tread very softly and carefully with.
Amen.
That's,
Another thing I want to add is, you know, I also try to be not too quick to be judgmental. If somebody does say, I heard so-and-so from the Lord, you know, we all start out as baby Christians, and we learn as we go from time to time. And so if somebody does, in a sense, say, well, prophesy or whatever, say, God told me so-and-so, and it does not come true, you know, I'm not throwing that person out immediately. You know, at that time, I know to be very cautious about what he's saying, but maybe that person is in the learning time period as well, and I think it's right thing to give that person some grace, and maybe he can learn from that.
One of the best things that builds character in us is, you know, God does speak through other believers. That's the way he's, but one of the best ways to build character in us is when we can take constructive criticism. May it come from God, may it come from people that mean well or whatever. But when we can take constructive criticism and use that to build character in us.
Amen.
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 Amen. Wow. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Chris. I would just like to, it's been a tremendous discussion. I really appreciate the input that has been given. I have in front of me 8 ways that God speaks to us today. Some of this already kind of came out, but I want to just quickly read over some of these. The first one is God speaks through His Word. Let me give you some illustrations. I needed help raising my children. God told me about that in His Word. If I have marriage difficulties, God spoke about that as well. Times when I was afraid, I'm reminded in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And then, of course, the one in Hebrews 13:5, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is how God speaks to me. This is why we need to read His Word. And when we read it, we need to say, Lord, speak to me where I'm at today and encourage my heart. Give me confidence and boldness and reveal something to me that may bring me back on course, whatever it may be. But let the word of God speak to you. Number two, God speaks to God speaks to us through his son Jesus Christ. John chapter 10 verse 4, my sheep follow me, or my sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 16, and they shall hear my voice. Verse number 27, this is John chapter 10 verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay, number three, he speaks to us through nature, God's creation. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I just like to add, there are many times that I might be struggling for whatever reasons, struggling through something and questioning and wondering, and look out the back door and see trees and grass and flowers and realize all of a sudden his creation begins to speak to me and encourage me and remind me that this is only possible because we have a God that rules the universe. Number four, this was just brought out. He speaks to us through other believers. Number five, there are people that hear God through music. In fact, that is probably true that all of us at time or another have sat back and allowed music to encourage us, and God used it in a powerful way to speak to us. And then number six, through circumstances. Number seven, through his spirit. Let me read this one scripture. Of course, we all know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. But in John 16, verse number 12 through 15, it says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. For whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And he ends with, he shall take of mine and show it unto you as well. And last but not least is number eight. He speaks to us through prayer. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Does God speak to his people today? And the answer is overwhelming yes.
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 Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful study. Thank you so much, Joe.
Very good, Joe. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. And it is my goal, it was my desire to do two things tonight. Be careful when you say God said. Let's not say it just flippantly, and let's not say it all the time unless it's true all the time. But chances are, I like what was said twice tonight. It's from that person that comes to you and humbly, in humility, says, God showed me something, and I want to show it to you. I want to share it with you. It's like, man, that's so different than the person that just flippantly says it 10 times in one conversation. You know, I think God will hold us accountable for that. And the other thing that I wanted I have no doubt in my mind that God speaks in audible voice. Today, he is speaking through dreams and all kinds of various ways in the Middle East. And I think that even in our country, we're going to see it more and more as we get closer to the end times. We're going to need something, not that we're looking for a sign, but God's going to give us a sign, an outward sign beyond his word to keep us strong all the way to the end. I believe that he's always done it in the past, and he will continue to do it.
Amen.
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 Does anybody have anything more that you want to add to what's been said tonight? Don't want to leave anybody out. It's a very precious, dear subject for the Christian man and woman. If not, I'm going to let Paul give again the number and code that you can listen to even after this. But as he's doing that, this is what I want to do, guys. This for next January, the first Sunday night of January, the topic is, when I pray, do I pray once or do I pray many, many times? If I pray many, many times, does that mean I don't have faith? I don't want to talk about it now. I just want to introduce the subject. I would love to hear from you because, again, we have a subject here that divides the church. You have them on both sides, and I think for our answers, we have to go to the scriptures. And I would absolutely love for you guys to get serious between now and the next a month from now. Do a study on it. Come back, and let's discuss prayer. Okay, Paul.
All right. The phone number to call in and listen to the recordings is 641-715-3800. That's 641-715-3800. And enter the PIN number 89752. 641-715-3800. PIN number 89752.
Thank you, Paul. And just maybe add, in addition to the January topic, we have Chris Beiler wanting to speak on end times. And I just like to say that if you have a desire to do a study or share something, have an hour, let us know in advance, and we will put it on the schedule. We're usually scheduled out about 3 to 4 months ahead of time. So because we advertise this in the Amish Voice, we appreciate all of those who have joined us tonight. Whether you are Amish or you're no longer Amish or you're non-Amish, it doesn't matter. We're all human beings who will one day stand before God. And again, I just want to say, if you have something that God has put on your heart, email us, call us, let us know. We'll talk about it. And it'd be so awesome to do that. Thank you. I'm done. Paul, you can close however you want.
All right. Someone want to volunteer to close us in prayer? Good. Yeah, Samuel, you want to? You're
sure.
Muted now. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Father, for this conference call tonight, Lord. I learned so much from it, Father, and I pray that others did too, Lord, and it's questions that I've had myself, and listening and hearing and talking to other people. Lord, we just thank you for the technology today that we can do this, Lord, and that we can learn each other and teach each other and talk about things like this, Lord. We just thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for all the listeners that we're on. Lord, I just ask that you would just be with us for the next month or so and allow us to study for what we need to do for the next conference call, Lord. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus, that he died on the cross and made it possible, Lord, that we can have eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, and some dark and cold.